Welcome to the Screen the Screener College Basketball Podcast with your hosts, Mike Randall and Gus Kearns.
Okay, welcome in, listeners, to the Screen the Screener College Basketball Podcast. Thank you, where we're always talking everything college hoops all the time. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for powering us up. Thanks for you guys out there and you girls out there for carving out some time. Could have been anywhere else on the dial, but you chose to be here with us, Mike and Gus, and we appreciate that. And guess what? We're going to be talking some NBA draft deadline announcements. Who's in? Who's back? Who's crossed the street? Who looked both ways? Mike, we got a big list of people to talk about here that's going to influence the game that we talk about and love.
I love how college basketball is just continuing to become a year-round, every month, every day news drop sport, much like the NFL. This is fantastic. We talk about Christmas in March. We talk about Christmas in, you know, start of the season. And the draft is another little mini celebration. And this is a big night because this is the night we learn who's coming back, who's staying, who's going. Tyus Battle just told us he's staying. And of course, we are sitting here and we are probably, Gus, potting as the news will drop whether the Martin brothers will return to Nevada. I mean, we could have timed this any better.
I kind of can't believe that they're one of the last names on the board for this very hard deadline at, I think it's at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So they are really taking it down to the last, literally the last hour. So it's possible while we're recording this pod, they might put their announcement out if they're back, if one's back, if one's gone, or if they're both gone. They thank Nevada for an unbelievable career there. But I think we have to talk about the list of guys that we have here. This list is enormous. There's some impactful dudes that are returning that can really change the landscape of the sport that, you know, we're going to pay attention to during the offseason and all next season. And yeah, I think out of all of these names, when I was just taking a look at the list, it's possible you could put together like an All-American team from the names that are returning.
It's incredible. And they do have to do something about this. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but It is kind of ridiculous. Everyone is sitting here waiting to hear about the Martin brothers. It's all over Twitter. We got the Cookie Monster watching the balls hit each other. I put one up of you and I from, what was the Eddie Murphy movie? It was Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
And, going to America.
You're going to America, right? Okay. So we're all waiting here. And listen, they're gathering information. I get it. But there's something wrong when like 300 people declare and like 100 people are coming back. I get it. I hope the Martin brothers come back. I don't see any projections where they're going in the first round, maybe the end of the first. But I don't think, Gus, and of course there's an injury and there's always an injury risk. But to me, the risk is greater than the reward. They could come back and win national title. So I don't see a situation where Cody and Caleb Martin come back and are not viewed in the same area that they're viewed right now. I don't see a situation with Ivan Rabb, right? It's not like Cody and Caleb are top 15 picks. They come back. I mean, what's worst case scenario, man? They're low first round, high second round, right? And that's a worst case. They could be lottery picks.
I think you're correct. I don't know if their draft slot value for the NBA is going to have much validity. Change from this season to next
correct.
Season.
Correct, right.
So I'm with you. There's a good corollary with Ivan Rabb because – he had some, you know, late lottery buzz and that ended up going in, I think, in the early second round because he stayed for his second year. I don't think that that's the type of situation where he actually lost an opportunity on a guaranteed contract and starting his earning, starting his earning clock a year earlier. The one thing to throw into the scenario here with the Martin twins is, and we talked about this with Chris Murray, when we talked to him earlier in the offseason, is that they both are receiving their degree this spring from Nevada. And that I think that's also something to add to the equation. So if they decide to walk away, they are walking away with the prestigious piece of paper that you hope that every college student athlete has the opportunity to garner, and that's with a diploma.
Absolutely, 100%. Partner, let's get to it, man. So rattling off the names. Am I going on the couch? How are we doing this? I'm just going to react. Right?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to – I have our list of names here that we thought were important people that we just need to give our two cents on. I think what I'll do is I'll just kind of read down the list, and then we can talk about the impact on that particular team and then maybe talk about the impact in the conference. And then if there's, you know, some sort of bigger national impact, whether it be that team's in the top 25, or you think that team could be a possible Final Four team, or a sleeper team that you have in your mind next year. So we can, we can talk off each one of these dudes. So you want to start with one of my favorite guys? Isn't it great that Carson Edwards is coming back to Purdue?
Yes, it is. Yeah, 100% it is. Smart guy, great player, smart player, winner, big shot maker, and he's making the right move. Again, why not come back if you're going to be projected as a second round guy? Why not? What are you going to come back and be a third round guy? No, there is no third round. Are you going to come back and have to go to the G League? Well, you're probably going to have to go to the G League anyway. Maybe you come back and be a first team All-American, which, by the way, Gus, he probably is close to, if not a preseason first team All-American. No?
Oh, I think everybody's going to have the name Edwards on that list. Yeah, for sure.
So it's like he has it and he doesn't make it. Great. Then he's probably still in the same area. Great move. Matt Painter's wiping his brow. Big one here.
I agree. The fact that Eastern is also coming back.
Yeah,
that definitely ups Purdue's chances for next year. And I think totally changes the outlook. And here's the other part, too. And maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more as we get into some of these other players. Is if you are a 6-foot-ish type guard, you have to do something amazing.
Yes, yes.
So is his change of speeds that amazing thing? Yeah, maybe. Is his athleticism in that small frame his amazing NBA skill? Yeah, probably. But does he do something awesome or, really pop skill-wise on the offensive end? I'm not totally sure. He is a total package, but he doesn't do that one particular thing. So if you're one of those shorter guards that doesn't have great measurables, why not just come back and really refine your game? So I'm with Edwards' move on that.
And it's about landing spot too. I mean, he is not a superior NBA athlete. He's not a guy who's going to wow you in the metrics, not going to jump through the gym, any of that stuff. He's a little undersized. He's a phenomenal college player. But he needs to be in the right landing spot. If he gets in the right landing spot in the NBA, he could really do some nice things. Josh Hart, that type of thing, that type of player. But he's got the winning gene, and that goes a long way. Very happy to see Carson Edwards next year. Very, very happy.
I agree. The one thing I will disagree with you, I think he would jump out of the gym. I think his vertical would be absolutely astounding. How about this? Do you want to package this next group of guys? We'll say Auburn on the whole. They're going to get Wiley back. They get their point guard Harper back. They get their shooter Brown back. All of those guys declared without an agent, and they're all coming back for Auburn. So, hashtag War Eagle. Where does this put Auburn in your mind with these three guys returning? I know we'll get to Heron in a second. But with this core of players, I know Wiley didn't play, but it'd be nice to see him on the court next season. With this core of players for Auburn, do you feel like they might be one of the favorites in the SEC as opposed to being, picked in a double-digit situation like they were last preseason?
Yeah, I'm worried about Auburn. I want to see them do well. Love Bruce Pearl. SEC, I still think, is a phenomenal basketball conference, and I think they'll be better next year. Tennessee's getting a tremendous amount of buzz, right? Going to be top three, possibly. But
oh, for sure.
There are teams, Gus, like your Northwestern and those sort of teams where they have a great year, and then they come back and they disappoint. I'm confident in Auburn. I think Auburn has – and I think the solution to that – is to have next level players, which I think they have returning, right? So I think their floor is safe. I can't tell you right now that my gut, and this is based on nothing but Mike Randall watching NBA basketball, college like you do, I don't know if they're even though these guys are coming back, if I'm saying, oh, the top five, oh, the top eight. I don't know about that. I think they could be there. I'm rooting for them to get there. I think they're fun. They're athletic. Pearls did a great job. But I'm not so positive that they're going to come back and dominate because I want to see these players in action. Maybe that's what it is. Sort of my Michael Porter Jr. thing where I haven't seen him play. So it's hard for me to really go all in. So very happy. Floor is high. But I want to see what the ceiling is going to be.
Interesting comparison to Northwestern with bringing some of the same guys back. I think bringing a big Wiley back and incorporating him into the fold, I think that might be the difference that they were looking for from last season's performance. Not that they want to do anything different from last season. I mean, they made the tournament, so on and so on. They had an unbelievably overachieving type year. Remember the 14-4 t-shirt that Pearl wore around for somebody that predicted that. That's how they would finish in conference. The one other part that didn't come back, which is interesting, is the wing, Mustafa Heron. He is getting his release from Auburn, and he is on his way to visit St. John's, and he's looking for a hardship transfer where he can play right away to be closer to home. Obviously, a couple other places that are high profile that'll be closer to home are UConn and URI, but he is taking an official visit to St. John. So that's interesting. That influences both the SEC and the Big East. And we can kind of pocket in Shamori Ponds coming back for St. John's. So is it possible that St. John's could have one of the best backcourts in the nation with Heron and Ponds if Heron actually decides to go there?
I like it. Ponds really impressed me that win over Villanova. I mean, he's got the big shot gene. He's got the big shot, not afraid of it, athletic, no conscience whatsoever. Yes, I think – remember, St. John's was terrible, and then they got hot there for a while. St. John's is one of my teams, spoiler alert, that really could make a jump next year, Gus. I believe in Chris Mullen. I know the negatives are out there about him, but yeah, I think Ponds is the real deal, and absolutely, Ed Heron, you kidding me?
That would be pretty amazing. And if you remember our conversation with John Gassaway during the season last year, I think it was right before like conference tournament time. He felt like St. John's was like an under-the-radar team last year.
He did, yes.
And he liked like a lot of their pieces, and he even liked a couple of their metrics that he pays really close attention to. So I think if they bring Ponds back, who I think is you could argue he could be Big East preseason player of the year, right? And if you bring in a talent like Heron, I mean, that's a great backcourt. That's a great place to start. Okay, how about these next two guys we'll package together? Because I'd love to see both of them do their thing that they're both known for against one another. How about Kerwin Roche of Texas and Kanate from West Virginia? Wouldn't you want to see Roche kind of dunk on Kanate and then Kanate go up with two hands and then just see what happens?
Yeah, Kanate coming back, I mean, he's a fun guy to watch, right? All those blocks, everything we saw. Doesn't have the polished skills for NBA. He really doesn't. He's almost to me like Zaire Smith, but bigger, all right? However, he can develop those skills with Bob Huggins. He can come back and dominate even more. He's not an All-American level player, but he's certainly a guy who could be first team All Big 12. So I like it. I think it's a smart move by both guys. I like them both coming back. I think it's very, very good. There's nothing wrong with coming back and trying to dominate the college landscape, because you know my thought. I agree with that guy. If you're not going to be a first-round pick, why not come back? I understand you can get injured. I get that. But I think the reward outweighs the risk. Kanate could come back and could be like a defensive Dikembe Mutombo guy. Sure, he's not as big. I understand that. But like he could really develop and find his way into a late first round next year. It's possible.
I think that's a nice storyline for him. And plus, West Virginia will now have – they're going to have the opportunity, like as Carter was the defensive player of the year in conference and nationally. I mean, and I think Kanate will get some of the same buzz. So it'll be interesting to see if Huggs can continue that defensive profile for his team and have like a really high-profile offensive name take the place now that Carter's gone. And hopefully, we'll get drafted somewhere in the second round and find a spot. I'm sure an NBA team will love to have him on the practice floor. How about UCLA? They got great news. Chris Wilkes, Jalen Hands, Cody Riley, all put their names in for the draft, and all three of them decide to come back. So along with their loaded class that's coming in, they bring back all of those sophomores. I know Holiday left, but the fact that those three guys are deciding to come back, I mean, with Jalen Hands getting an invite to the combine, it's interesting they use their information and then decide to come back to Pauley Pavilion.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, the wings, right? The scoring wing player.
Yeah.
Make some threes. Don't go to the draft. Stay if you don't do anything great. Okay. And Chris Wilkes is not a great all around player. He's a solid player. These guys do decent things, but stay, work on your craft. Be great at something. All right. It's what we talked about. We started this whole podcast. Somebody wrote it when we were doing our research. Better to have 50 incredibly loyal fans than 500 sporadic fans. And like, I'm very proud that we do have people who we're loyal to and they're loyal to us. Same thing. Don't be a jack of all trades, master of none. Do something well. Like, is it going back to the Carson Edwards thing? His vertical isn't great. But what's great about him is he's a leader. He's a great leader. It's possible Carson Edwards can come back and average 25 points a game next year. That is well within the range of outcomes.
It's not crazy.
Chris Wilkes, give me something. Like, what? I'm just going to be a plug-and-play wing on the bench? Okay. But if you're coming back, come back and dominate. And maybe he can, you know? Kanate, dominate defensively. They'll find it. If you're great at one thing, you'll find a home.
That's for sure. And you know what? If nothing else, Steve Alford has shown that he gets his guys ready for the NBA, whether it be Ball, whether it be this year with Holiday, TJ Leaf, you know, was a lottery pick. So he does get his guys ready. So there is some sort of pedigree there for the UCLA crew to follow under Coach Alford. Speaking of dominate, I think if you're going to make your, you know, we mentioned Carson Edwards as one of the guys you might put on your All-America team for the preseason, for the upcoming season. How about Luke May? You're probably going to put him there too, right? He's going to come back.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought this one up. I was so happy about this.
Yeah.
Luke May. Another thing, not a great athlete, not a like Shaquille O'Neal, big man, okay, drop step dunk, but he's the Euro big, okay? He rebounds, he mixes it up a little bit, he can shoot the lights out, which is what your fours need. Draymond Green's dribbling the ball up the court for the Warriors, okay? So obviously things have changed, which by the way, also could be Amari Spellman, but we'll get to him a little bit later, right? I see a lot of similarities.
Right, right.
But yeah, Luke May, come back and kick Fanny. You had a solid year. But when you make the shot you made against Kentucky, people were maybe unfairly, Gus, thinking first-team All-American-ish, second-team All-American type of guy. He didn't have that. He can. He can come back and dominate. North Carolina's going to be better. I was very happy about this one. Very, very happy.
Yeah, I think he's going to be definitely the central piece of that offensive, hyper-offensive team that Coach Williams always puts out. So I don't think there's any choice but for May to just put out, you know, gaudy numbers next year. And why not? Just come back and dominate the college game and be one of those, like, personalities that everybody can latch onto. And that's a great thing about our game, too, is sometimes you just get those guys. And I feel like Luke May could be one of those student-athletes next year. What do you think of Nick Ward coming back from Michigan State? Jackson's gone, Bridges gone. What do you think of Nick Ward?
My wife is happy because she hates Nick Ward. Okay, so she said when she heard him, he's not getting drafted. Every time, again, she watches Nick Ward, he's terrible. I don't know what the issue is. She'll leave the room, he'll have two dunks. She comes back and he dribbles off his foot. Happened every game, very funny. She still hasn't gotten over that bet that we lost to Ohio State. And now gambling's legal, Gus. We can talk about this. But we went up to the in-law's house, like she pulled in. And like her parents, like she never liked basketball before, go, why are you so into Michigan State? Well, we got a $50 bet on it. And I went down the drain. So she hasn't forgiven Nick Ward for that. Yes, he should come back. He's raw. He's a raw guy. He's as G League could be. Come back. Michigan State, poor year this year. Didn't meet expectations. Recover. Like it. Yes.
Okay, let's package the next two guys together. I think they're both pretty interesting. How about John Elmore from Marshall and Chris Clemens from Campbell? You remember Elmore on that Marshall team that upset Wichita State. Elmore put up some crazy numbers this past year where he averaged over 20 and then like over 5 assists and almost 4 boards. Like he put up a crazy stat line with unbelievable shooting percentages. And you know Chris Clemens from Campbell is one of the leading scorers in the nation. He led the nation in scoring a couple of years ago. He's a little diminutive, a little bit undersized, but having both of those high scoring guards back in the game is nothing but good for the college game. And it'll be fun to follow both of them and to see if one of them, or maybe both of them, get an opportunity to make the tournament in March and have in a moment like Elmore and Marshall did last year against a high profile team like Wichita State.
Yeah, Clemens, big time scorer, come back, score some more, make yourself into, you know, get to that next level by becoming an incredible, incredible player. Who's the guy who was on Montana years ago that I liked? What's his name?
The guy at Montana?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't recall this one. This is tough.
Come on, there's a guy, the guy who came back. We wanted him to make the tournament. He didn't. Big time scorer.
I'm blanking on this guy. Short I'm sorry. Guy.
All right, well, I'll find it. But and the other one, Clemens with Marshall. Conference USA could be the change at the top right now, guys. Tennessee State, we've always liked them. Kermit to Mississippi now. Marshall knocked them off. Beat them, what, twice? Three times last year? Forget what it was. They made some noise in the tournament, had the big upset. So, yeah, I like this a lot. Marshall, this is a great up-and-coming team right now that maybe nationally people don't know enough about.
And don't forget, you know that Elmore is going to put up numbers because Coach D'Antoni is going to let him do his thing and runs a similar offense to his brother does for the Rockets, and he embraces shooting the three and shooting layups. So he will definitely have opportunity to get put up bigger numbers.
His brother should have put him on loan for that game 7, but go ahead.
Maybe something like that, right? They could have used him since they were playing a 7-man rotation.
Yeah, that's it, yep.
Look at that. How about these two guys for the Big 12? How about Jared Culver from Texas Tech and Wingington from Iowa State, both like athletic, uber athletic student athletes. Culver more of a wing, Wingington more of a guard, a little bit of a combo guard. So the Big 12 has a ton of dudes that are coming back that are going to be impactful in conference. Thoughts on Culver? Do you think he keeps Texas Tech relevant? And do you think Wigginton returning can bring Iowa State back from the basement and back up to relevancy?
Culver, very underrated. Didn't get the pub that he should have got because he was overshadowed. Love Wigginton. Very impressed at that game against West Virginia in West Virginia. May have lost that bet too there, Gus. So ever since I saw Wigginton do that against West Virginia on the road, I've been very impressed with him. Glad to see him come back and do some good things.
Definitely. How about this guy coming back? And we can file him under maybe we could arguably talk about him as like SEC preseason player of the year. How about Tremont Waters from LSU? Isn't it fun that he's going to come back?
Mr. Big Shot is down there with Coach Wade. He's got a great thing going. He's already making a huge difference going to LSU there. Like Tremont Waters a lot. Yes, absolutely.
Love that he's going to come back. I love that he's going to be not on the level that Luke May is, but he's going to be one of those names that you remember and you know, at least fans in the SEC are going to latch on to. Okay, I got a couple more for you here. How about this? How about Juwan Morgan from Indiana and putting him with Lankford? Does that kind of make sense? Does that give like Indiana some definite positive buzz now that they're going to have Morgan do some damage on the wing and down low and then have Lankford do his thing out on the wing?
Yeah, and he's going to be the type of leader that Lankford could really have. And Archie Miller can coach his fanny off. And he basically battled through his first year this year, up and down, doing his whole thing. He got Lankford. That was a huge get. Morgan can help. There's excitement back in Bloomington. That's a big signing because that's a changing of the guard there. And what you're talking about, because Purdue loses a lot. You know, my Michigan Wolverines will be in the mix. Okay.
They sure will.
Michigan
Charles
State's
Matthew is back.
Yeah, Charles Matthews, who I listened to another podcast, said that he could be first team All-American. I don't know what that means. But yes, I think it's a big one. I think Indiana's moving into the upper echelon of the Big Ten again.
Yeah, I think they're heading to the right. I don't know if you're talking to talk about tiers. I think they're heading to the positive tier.
Heading to the positive tier. Yes. That's what I was saying.
Without question. Yeah. How about this? We didn't talk a lot of Big East, but maybe you have any thought on Max Struss coming back from DePaul? Does that even matter? Is DePaul just going to stink again? Or him coming back, does that change the DePaul finishing over under in the Big East at like 8.5? Like,
bro, when you're DePaul and you need everybody you can have back at any time. Right. DePaul hangs around. I mean, they do battle. They do a good job. They're in a tough spot. I know they're going to break through at some point, but yeah, they need all their guys back. So I don't want to see DePaul be horrific. So yes, I think it helps, and you never know. Yes.
Okay. So I have a couple of more guys, but I think it's a good point now to talk about Reed Travis. Reed Travis graduated from Stanford and declared himself for the NBA draft, did not sign with an agent. So he is not entering the NBA draft, but he is putting himself like kind of out on the market as a grad transfer. And the buzz is right now that Kentucky could be one of the landing spots for Reed Travis. Reed Travis was a all Pac-12-ish type player last year, put up about 18 points, about 9 boards, was arguably one of the biggest dudes that you're going to see in the Pac-12 or anywhere in college basketball. I read somewhere where he was one of the strongest guys that Ayton had to wrestle with in the Pac-12 last year. So how about Reed Travis coming back, but not only not coming back to Stanford, but maybe coming back to Kentucky, Mike? What about that?
Yeah, I don't think you should go to Kentucky. I think if you're Reed Travis, you are a big fish in a small pond in Stanford. All right? You go to Kentucky, you're small fish, small pond. Or small fish, big pond, right? Small fish, however you want to look at it. Reed Travis was the man at Stanford. I don't believe, Gus, getting in the mindset of the college athlete that you go somewhere where you really aren't the man. You're just one of many. It's not like he could still start. He probably would. I'm just saying he's not dropping 23-12. That's not what Kentucky does. They didn't do it with Karl Anthony Towns. They're not doing it with Reed Travis. I don't care how old he is. So I think he could go there. If he's smart, where would he go? Villanova.
Ooh.
That's where he'd go.
That's interesting.
That's where he'd go. Because now they don't have a big man. Villanova, it has the pedigree. Villanova needs a big man. He would be the man there. They pack the gym. He'd be on the East Coast. He'd get max exposure. That's where he should go. It's my opinion.
Wow. That's very interesting. That's not what I was thinking. Wow. Great call. okay, wow. That you took the podcast there for a little trip. Wow, yeah, Villanova fans came, are now salivating.
Well, here's the thing. This came from a huge argument that I will recap on my my Patreon-only pod. Folks, again, go to patreon.com, Screen the Screener College Basketball Podcast. You can support us $1, $3, $6. If you do the $6 option, we give you an extra pod every single week. That is 52 extra pods this year for what would amount to be $72. It's a little bit more than a dollar a pod. So I did one. Gus did a fantastic one last week. Patron-only pod. You get a t-shirt. You get access to us, conversations, the whole bit. We're sending out private NBA draft previews from our YouTube channel. I'm recapping this argument, which lasted all day with this Villanova fan today, and this is what I suggested that came out of this. So I'm recapping that on up, Bob, which will drop on Saturday. But to full disclosure, that's where it came from. I'm going to recap.
And I think I know the Villanova fan you're arguing with. So no, sorry, ridiculous. I think the argument is it would be valid and somewhat heated.
Well, here's the thing. Well worth a dollar. Okay, that's all I'm going to tell you. This one, well worth a dollar is fine. We almost came to blows, but go ahead.
Oh, and just a couple of more, informational things there. Like, if you like what you're listening to here, please, you know, give the podcast a follow at SDS Podcast on Twitter.
Martin Brothers, announce. Will you announce? I'm hitting refresh. I'm sorry, Gus. Go ahead.
That's kind of why we're doing this, to make sure to see what they're telling us. And of course, give Mike a follow on Twitter at Randall Rant. He is insightful, entertaining, and definitely educational. If you really like what you're listening to, you know, hit up Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Or whatever vehicle that you decide to consume the podcast on, and we'd love to hear a cool review from you guys. That would be awesome, especially during the off season. So if you're so inclined, please do. We'd love to hear some positive vibes come our way via your kind thoughts. And you want to get in touch with the podcast? Hit us up on Gmail, sdspodcast@gmail.com, and we'd love to interact with you that way. If that's your mode of interaction, so that those are the ways to get in touch with us and let us know what we should be doing. And a listener said, "Hey, Gus, Mike, do you think that you guys could go over the transfers and talk about the impact of some of the transfers?" And guess what? We're gonna work on that for either next week's podcast or the podcast following. We'll try to get that one done before the NBA draft. So yeah, that one's in the works. But we thought with the deadline coming up, we had to talk about some of the student athletes that we followed so closely this entire past season. We had to update you on our quick thoughts, who's in, who's out, so on and so on. So, Mike, back to the list. Do you believe that Jontay Porter decided to come back with all the positive buzz he had going into prior to the NBA Combine? He's just going to come back to Missouri. What's your thoughts for the Missouri Tigers and the SEC overall with Jontay coming back but Michael Porter leaving?
Yeah, this was the right move. Jontay Porter had about the worst possible combine he could fathom. His vertical leap, Gus, you want to take a guess? Vertical inch, your vertical jump. I mean, Jontay Porter, center, power forward, big guy, long.
It's right? Got to be like 35, 36.
Yeah, exactly. 25 inches. 25.5 inches. Did not have a good his measurables were
That's
not
like
there.
That's a couple of phone books, man.
Yeah, well That's the thing. So here's he may be one of these guys' partner. I mean, Devin Hall didn't have a good, combine either.
That's not Devin Hall's thing, though.
That's my point. That's not his thing. Like, but this is what Jontay Porter's thing has to be. So I like him coming back. I think it's the right move. He gets to establish his own identity. His brother won't be there anymore. Quanzo Martin's done a nice job. Yes, I like him coming back.
I think he'll have the opportunity to put up some different numbers, not necessarily bigger numbers, but maybe some different numbers. And I also like that he's going to have a chance to battle Daniel Gafford from Arkansas. So both of those big men come back and try to like hone their game a little bit, maybe expand their range, show that they're a little bit more versatile than they were their initial freshman year in the SEC. So SEC packed with big men, and you throw Wiley into that mix from Auburn, those bigs definitely get interesting.
Gus, can we play a game here real quick? I'm sorry. We're going off script. So Bruno Fernando, right? He's gone.
Sure.
Right. He's gone. Okay. All I remember seeing, partner, is Bruno Fernando dunking on everybody from Maryland. Like, those were the highlights. Bruno Fernando dunking. His vertical's only 29 inches. Do you know that Bruno Fernando has the same vertical as Jalen Brunson? Like, we didn't see Jalen Brunson. Did he even dunk once? Maybe once. But, like, so there is such a thing as game athleticism and overall athleticism. If you can translate it, you're Dante DiVincenzo. But there is such a thing. So we know that I know that Bruno Fernando can dunk on everybody. I know that. But the numbers don't show that. And that's the thing. Like, Jontay Porter may just be one of these guys that has game athleticism, not overall athleticism, right?
Yeah, if you can activate your athleticism accordingly and intelligently, like on the court, that's a skill. Like, that's a legit skill. Like, I'm going to go super personal here, but just watching my daughter is a baller and is playing a grade level
breaks,
up against all –
breaks ankles on a daily basis.
Like, playing up against all boys and is – like, she's obviously not as tall as the third and fourth grade boys, but – her athleticism, she's able to get bored. She's able to, her passing lanes are extended because she steps through. Like, she uses all of her athletic gifts, like, in that scenario. And yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. Like, that's a skill. I don't know if that's like a learned skill, but that's definitely an athletic IQ thing. So I agree that some of these guys do have high athletic IQs and some of them just don't. And I don't know if that's going to change as a 20-year-old. That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Martin brothers are returning to Nevada. Woo!
Are you serious?
Chris Murray just confirmed the John Rothstein report that the Martin twins are in fact returning to Nevada for their senior season. Rest easy tonight, Wolfpack fans. I'm having a beverage when this pod's over. Top three.
Wow.
No
doubt. If Chris Murray is saying it, it's true.
That's it. Oh,
no doubt.
Baby. Oh, baby.
That is absolutely outstanding. Congratulations, Nevada fans. That is the best news that you can hear. I mean, combine that with the Jordan Brown news. What in the – I mean, are you kidding me? Wow.
Hashtag Battleborn. Oh, baby. Hey.
All right, so we'll continue down our list. We'll add the the Martin twins coming back. Mike, thoughts on that?
I may put him number one.
It's not crazy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for the game. Give me Kentucky and Nevada. Oh, baby.
So, we were talking about, Luke May coming back and being
You can't talk right now. You're so excited. I know.
Yeah, for real. This is, like, big time. This is huge. We're, like, potting in the moment. This is great. I think the Martin twins could be that type of – I think with Jordan Caroline returning, too. Like, that team is going to be that type of team, but those guys are and they're going to totally sacrifice their numbers because they do have their depth is through the roof this year. We talked about the depth with Chris Murray when we have to repost that podcast. That podcast was awesome. Now that they're back, we'll definitely do that later on this week for you guys. So just, follow us on Twitter. We'll put it right at the top of our Twitter page so we can go back and listen to that conversation with Chris about the possibility of returning. And it's funny that you say this news now. The last thing that Chris and I talked about on that podcast was the possibility of those guys coming back, and we talked about the reasons why they might. We won't give everything away for those or rehash everything if you've already listened to it, but it'll be definitely worth the re-listen later. So the fact that they're going to have possibly the most stacked starting lineup in the nation next year is going to be ridiculous. Holy cow.
Man. I'm so excited. It's a great move. They weren't going in the first round, praying maybe Caleb in a long shot. It's the right move. It's great for college basketball. It's David Goliath. Let's go. Give me them against Duke with those top three recruits. Bring it. Bring it, Battleborn.
Dang, that's fantastic. All right, let's see if we can get down the rest of our list. That's the highlight of this podcast for sure. Okay, I'll run down a couple of your guys. You want to talk a little bit about Charles Matthews? Charles Matthews deciding to come back from Michigan?
Yeah, I like Charles Matthews. I liked him last year. He flaked out a little bit, up and down at times, but usually showed up in big games. Really good athlete, rebounds. I thought he had a very good championship game. Really battled, kept him in it. But I think he should come back because I think he can take the next step and be dominant. Came from Kentucky, transferred, had a real nice season. So very happy. Good player back. That makes Michigan an issue. They lost Wagner, but Matthews coming back is big.
Oh, I think so. And I think if you throw him with the point guard they have coming back that played really well, I think that speaks perfectly. And then they have Beeline's going to put him in like successful offensive situations. And the fact that, we talked about last year how they – have the assistant coach taking care of the defense. Like, I think Michigan might just be at that next level as a program on the whole. And if they can have Matthews being that impact player to lead them there, I think that makes perfect sense. Okay, how about Noah Washington? Noah Dickinson from Washington. He's a 6'8 swing guy, a great defensive player, 15 points a game, about 8 boards a game in the Pac-12. Do you think that him coming back and playing in that zone scheme and maybe put a chance to put up some bigger numbers and a little bit of a down Pac-12, do you think that's a good move for Dickinson?
Yes, and we see the zone is an issue. With all the changes that are going on, Gus, with the game, I think it's harder to prepare for the zone and Boeheim. Boeheim had some struggles there for a while. I think a lot of more people were playing zone. You saw that run. He put him on. It's a team by, if you look at the numbers, probably should not have been in the tournament. And Mike Hopkins is a disciple. Oftentimes the disciple does a Daniel LaRusso, Mr. Miyagi situation, becomes just as good. I like Hopkins. He's got a good thing going out there. Needs athletes to come back. Like this move a lot.
Definitely like that move too. He's probably a first team all Pac-12 guy next year. How about any thoughts on Justin James from Wyoming returning for the Mountain West? So the Mountain West has like a bunch of cool guys coming back. We talked about the Mark twins, Caroline's coming back. James averaged about 19 points last year for Wyoming, tested the waters, decided to come back. So Mountain West actually has some like high impact players that are returning in conference. Any thoughts on James, or you think he's just like another good player that's going to be added to the Mountain West roster?
I think a good player on a team that doesn't have that upper echelon success in their conference is always a big deal, because that good player can come back. He comes back with a chip on his shoulder. He comes back having tested the waters and thought about it, and he's really ready to step into a leadership role. So yeah, anytime you have a big player coming back to a smaller profile school, I think
good.
He can really
point.
Make a big leap. Yeah, I think this is a big deal. And Wyoming's a tough place to play.
Total tough place. Like, great point. Totally underrated. Okay, let's package the next two guys together and we'll talk a little ACC. How about Sheldon Mitchell and Marquise Reed coming back for Clemson? That gives Clemson 4 of their 5 starters back from a tournament team that won a game last year. How do you feel about Mitchell and Reed coming back? And then, you know, we were kind of calling for Brownell's job, and now it seems like with these guys coming back and him getting an NCAA win last season, Clemson might be in good shape.
Yeah, Clemson is in good shape. Marquise Reed really impressed me. I like both guys coming back. Happy for Brownell. I root for the coaches. I thought he was gone. Absolutely didn't have what he had one tournament in 6 years, whatever the heck it was.
Right.
He had a very
right.
good season this year, did it with smoke and mirrors, lost the big man in the middle of the season, didn't miss a beat. Yes, I'm happy for this. I'm happy for Clemson. Clemson being good is good for the ACC.
I agree. That's a great point, and I really like Reed, too. I thought he was a little bit of a bulldog. I liked him on both sides of the ball last year. Glad he's going to come back and do his thing in the ACC. How about Azubuike? How about Udoka Azubuike for Kansas? He's deciding to come back. Interesting that like the dinosaur big man couldn't find NBA scout eyes that really adored what he does. But on the college game, he was unbelievably effective. He shot like over 70% from the field. What's your thoughts on Azubuike coming back and maybe how that affects Kansas overall and maybe how that affects the Big 12 championship picture?
Yeah, again, not a total all-around athlete. I think Azubuike was smart here. He's a big man, right, Gus? But he's a big man who's not super all-around athletic. In a draft that has all-around athletic bigs, right? Looking at him here, his lane agility time at the combine – he was 12.97, one of the worst times. He's not a quick back and forth guy. His shuttle run 3.65, also slow. Three quarter sprint, not fast, 3.12. That you're going to sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter, right? He's a big, right? But there's other bigs in the draft that can do these things. That's the
Correct.
Problem. Vertical leap, 31 inches, solid. Same as Kevin Herter, by the way. Max vertical leap, only 31. So the running start doesn't really – I think he's a two-foot jumper. He's not really a one.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So this is a guy who doesn't – and you do it when we do those previews on YouTube. You do such a great job with those. The second jump, you know, the second hop you talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have that. So
no.
I think he's got to go back and become the bull in the china shop, and I don't think he showed enough of that to translate. So surprising, but I like it.
I like it too, and I think he'll partner well with the freshman that they have coming to run the backcourt, Dotson, and I also think he'll go in well with the Memphis transfers that they have coming back as well. How about this one? This one's interesting. Tyler Hall from Montana State, the mid-major guy. So 2 years ago, not last year, 2 years ago, Hall had some major buzz because in the 2016-2017 season, he averaged 24 points per game. He shot 42% from three, and he shot almost 55% from the field. So he put up like this insanely effective scoring year. And this past year, he had a little bit of a down year, scoring-wise, percentage-wise, and shooting-wise. Had a little bit of an injury earlier on in the season, which hampered him. But Hall put his name in and decides to come back to Montana State to get it right. I kind of liken this to – you remember when Giddy Potts had that year where he shot like 50% from three? And then the next year he came back and shot like 39. And everybody was like, oh, what's wrong with Giddy Potts? I think it's just like a market correction there. So maybe last year was a market correction, and maybe like the real Tyler Hall is somewhere that averages like 20 points on 40% shooting from three. But I think the senior year for Hall at Montana State is going to be telling, and he'll be an interesting mid-major guy to follow. I think people up in Bozeman are excited that he's going to come back and give it one more run.
Same thing I said before. Agree. Coming back, lower profile school can come back with confidence and lead a team. Absolutely.
So we said Tyus Battle from Syracuse is definitely coming back, as far as we know at last check on the on Twitter and on the podcast, right?
Yes, he is coming back. And little stat, I'll credit Norlander and Parrish. I heard this one. Tyus Battle played the most minutes of any Division I college basketball player last year.
Okay, so the most. I was saying one of the most.
The most. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So Syracuse, guess what? You got your anchor back. And if they got their anchor back, that means they're probably going to be pretty good with their zone defense mechanics. I got a couple more for you here. We'll finish up with Robert Franks from Washington State. I feel like he's in the same book or same ballpark as like Noah Dickerson from Washington. You know, 6'7", can do a little bit of everything, shot at 40% from three, about 17 points per game. Put his name in, and I think initially was thinking of signing with an agent. Yeah. Get invited to the combine, and so was deciding to come back and give it one more run in the Pac-12. I think he might be one of those sneaky, impactful players in the Pac-12.
Yeah, this was fooled Rothstein. Rothstein said he was gone. He's actually coming back. Like it too. Washington State, same thing. This was when he got wrong. Very happy about that. By the way, Gus, that player I was talking about from Montana earlier wasn't Montana. It was Oakland. I apologize. Kay Felder.
Oh, Kay Felder.
That's a high-scoring guy from a small conference. I love those guys. We're championing the little guy here at Screen the Screener. So those are the type of guys we love. When you have a guy who could fill it up like that, want to see him come back. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I was trying to find –
Yeah, not Montana, it's Oakland. Like, yeah, Oakland, sorry.
Yeah, okay, great. I love Kay Felder. He was massive. And then we'll end with a familiar guy that could be in your ballpark. How about Kai Bowman from BC coming back?
Yeah.
Are we happy that BC is going to have – I mean, they lose Robinson. He'll probably be in the late first round as far as where, like, I'm looking at him going. But they bring Bowman back. So how does that affect BC, and does that kind of keep them relevant in the ACC?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I went to Boston College, folks. I talked about this on the Patreon site. Listen, BC is a great town. It's not a great college sports area. I can say that as the former track captain for 3 years, okay? But it is – when you get good, it gets rocking. So they were good last year. They beat Duke at home last year. And sure, I was there in college, and I'll tell the story, you know, maybe one of the private pods, how I got written up in the paper for yelling too much. It used to be that all the older fans, all the people with the money used to sit on the court, and they used to call it Conti Morgue instead of Conti Forum, okay, because it was so quiet. They've changed it now. So when you get going, man, the juice is good there. And Bowman brought some juice, and they had some big wins. Jim Christen doing a great job. Very happy to see him back, of course, 100%.
Excellent. I'm glad he's going to cut. I think he could be on your first team all ACC preseason. I think that would make sense along with Luke May. I think that makes perfect sense. And maybe maybe Reed from Clemson. So a couple of the guys that we mentioned on this podcast are guys.
No Dukies. Love it. No Dukies on that one.
Yeah. Somebody's going to put some of those freshmen in there. Like, you know, Zion,
protect your neck, Williamson, maybe.
Yeah. and then what we'll do is we'll end up with a couple of quickies here. Mike, did you have you okay with Kevin Herter leaving for Maryland?
Yeah, I like Herter. He's like my poor man's Dante DiVincenzo. You know that. We haven't talked about it in the pod because they really weren't in the tournament. But, I like Herter. I'm always impressed with Herter. He can shoot the three. He can stick it. Listen, again, it's the J.J. Redick corollary. If you have a skill, then you can be. And Herter can do it. He's also a big guy, and evidently he's very athletic. So, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, and then how about the Kentucky conglomerate? So P.J. Washington stays – but Gabriel and Vanderbilt are leaving. What's your take on Washington staying, but then when Gabriel and Vanderbilt keeping their names in the NBA draft?
Let's go one by one. Can you say their name again slowly, and I'll give one-word reaction?
P.J. Washington, Kentucky, is staying.
Okay. Doesn't do anything well. I'm glad he stays.
Okay. Gabriel from Kentucky is leaving, keeping his name in.
We'll be fair on this one. He has a difficult family situation, needs the money. I think if he comes back, he's going to be passed by the freshman anyway. I have no problem with it. He's not going to get drafted. He's going to go to the G League. He's going to work his way up. I'm fine with it.
I agree with you. I think he's one of those guys that's going to find his way on an NBA roster.
7 threes, Gus, in that one game, remember? Yep.
In a year or two, if not sooner.
Yep.
And then how about Vanderbilt?
I just don't get it. I mean, this his best skill – how tall is he? What was he, 6?
I think he's 6'9",
well,
6'8".
He's listed at 6'9". Is he really, though? I mean, this is going to be a Zaire Smith situation. This is what I'll say. He's a 6'9". I'm going to say 6'7". Okay, but let's say he's around there. Doesn't shoot great. Can't really dribble. His best stat, as I railed in everybody's head this year, was rebounds per minute.
Oh, yeah. He was a monster.
All right. Well, that's great. Manute Bol can make a lot of threes, too. It's just not the stat that matches up with the size, right? So a high motor guy. I mean, I think his high floor, I'll do a Gus here, on the high end, a comparable, Marcus Smart. Okay. Like that. And Marcus Smart's a much better offensive player than Jared Vanderbilt is. So,
right.
Listen, I don't like it. But here's the problem. You go to Kentucky as a five-star recruit. You better make an impact right away because you got a truckload of five-star recruits coming behind you. So I think Vanderbilt should stay. But if he doesn't think he's going to play, G League away.
Good point. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like Kentucky has this odd self-created dilemma where their improvement curve has to hit a certain, you know, a certain angle. Otherwise, they're in that dilemma that you just explained. It's crazy.
And Calipari, listen, does a fantastic job, Gus. Obviously, he gets these guys in, but he gets 20 to 25 point per game high school players to come there and average 8 points a game and be the next Devin Booker. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Reed Travis, don't go there. Don't go there. You're not like that. The system doesn't allow you. Go to Villanova. Go with Jay Wright. He's a handsome man and dominate. I think that's the right move. Reed, I think you're really good and you're probably better than all the guys they're going to have there. But I don't know if you're going to be playing 35 minutes. And so I don't know if I'm Reed Travis and I come from Stanford where I'm the dominant guy, Gus. Am I buying into Cal? I'm not an 18-year-old kid in the high school gym where he comes in on the private jet, right?
How about this? I'll play. Look, I'm kind of with you on this.
I'm gonna play
devil's advocate. How about this? So let's say I'll take the other argument with Reed Travis going to Kentucky, and I didn't know we were gonna get into this conversation. But how about this? How about you're thinking of it and you're viewing it as an intelligent individual and saying, I have 1 year of eligibility left. Where can I go for 1 year that's gonna improve my stock the most as a player?
Okay. All right.
Who does the most in that 1 year period with his players getting them ready for the NBA? The list is pretty short, and Kentucky's on that list.
I guess you don't want to go to Nevada. See, that's how I think. But again, I'm old, so Gus, when we're in college, maybe we're not thinking this way. But my argument is I'm coming back to make myself an NBA player and win. Of course you want to win. I get that.
And maybe he values winning too. And maybe he sees him going there as one of the missing pieces. And one of their missing pieces is always what? Experience.
You're right. That's a fair point. Folks, contact us on Twitter at SDS Podcast. Let us know what you think about this one. I agree, Gus. And you know what? If he's good there, he's a top 3 pick. So I get it. I think it's a very fair argument.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be one of the he's put up numbers. He's proved that he can do that. Maybe he wants to showcase his skill set a little bit, improve on his shooting range out to the 3-point line, and maybe show that he can play defense at multiple positions. And stats be screwed, he doesn't care. And maybe they get to a Final Four. 18, maybe that's his thing.
18-10 at Kentucky is a top 5 pick. You're 18, right. I get it. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if he's a top 5 pick, but I think he goes from being somebody that could go undrafted in this past draft to somebody that everybody's going to have in for a workout and everybody's going to pay attention to.
How about this? They make the Final Four and he's a leading scorer and rebounder.
Oh, people are top 10.
What's the floor? I mean, he's going to, you know, like how many times has the top guy in Kentucky, if they're successful, not gone in the top 10? I mean, so I think maybe I just rooted for Villanova.
How about this? What if that thing happens? Like what happened to Dante DiVincenzo and Amari Spellman?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so what happened
that's
there?
That's true. Spellman.
Yeah, like and both of those guys are in the draft now, and it makes sense.
I have a lot.
So I think that storyline That storyline definitely plays into the Reed Travis positive.
Yeah. I got a lot of thoughts on Spellman. I'll save him
for yeah, you want to finish up with Spellman? I saved him for
I'm last. Saving it. I'm saving it. What I'll say is this. I get it. I have a lot more thoughts on this, but I'll summarize. I get it. I think he's going to be a very successful NBA player. I do. I just think it's going to take a while because I just don't think he's quite there yet. He's going to have to sit for a while and develop. But you know what? The kid's going to be in the league in 5 years, that's for sure. After 5 years from now, he will still be in the league is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere fast. And just want to end with one last thing, and I think we can bang on this for like 2 seconds and move on and then close up shop. But how about the position that the NCAA put Brian Bowen in? And you know, Brian Bowen was kind of like one of the quasi-villains unfairly this past season because he was caught up in the Louisville scandal, and then he transferred to South Carolina for taking a payment, and he was part of the FBI investigation. So he puts his name in for the NBA draft, but then the NCAA doesn't get back to him before this deadline on a hard number of games that he would have to sit out as some sort of punishment. So he just decides to keep his name in and, you know, drafted or not drafted, be damned. He'll G League it or overseas it or whatnot. But I think the biggest thing from this situation is, isn't it just like a bad job out of the NCAA again? Like, not only did they, like, you know, screw all their rules up and this is like a total disaster, but now they're kind of screwing over this kid. Like, they're not providing him an opportunity, or at least they're not providing him like a pathway to say like, nope, you can't take this path anymore because you messed up. Do you feel like they did a bad job of like letting him know, or are you just like, Brian Bowman made a bad decision, so screw it, it's not a big deal?
No, I don't like this one. I think Brian Bowman is a victim here. I don't think that he's, I don't know. I mean, is he out there running a whole scheme with his dad or what? I don't know, but it just doesn't sit well in my gut to me. Gus, he did transfer. He wanted to go to South Carolina. You know, I love Frank Martin. Okay.
Oh yeah. So yeah. I'm sure Frank Martin like did everything he could to get him eligible too.
My wife wanted him there with Silva. Okay, but you know,
and Silva and Manaya too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, she hates Silva. She's a love hate relationship with Silva. But it just doesn't sit well with me. I agree with you. Something about it doesn't sit well, and I just, my gut is telling me this kid's getting over penalized. Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and then, well, you know, I think it's the perfect closure here. He's somehow changed from one of, like, the quote-unquote villains or bad guys to somebody now you have, like, empathy for and feel sorry for because of the way that the NCAA handled this. So it's interesting how his perception, his public perception, has done a complete 180 in, you know, basically a season where he did not see a minute of floor time.
Excellent point.
In the sport that we follow. Superior. So it's interesting point that NCAA was responsible for that.
Well done, partner. Excellent job. Yeah.
So listeners, thank you so much. We hope you enjoy the podcast. We hope that we got you up to date on everybody and where they're going our reactions in conference, what that means for the team, what that means for the conference. So hopefully we got you up to date and you appreciate the off-season NBA draft deadline podcast.
Got some great stuff coming up for you folks. So let us know. Give us a 5-star review. We love it on iTunes. And give us some suggestions. What do you want to see in the upcoming season? Because we got some stuff in store for you. Screen the Screener, folks. Growing every single day. Martin Brothers are back.
Oh, oh, that's great news. Cheers. Salacha, grazie, latia. Arigato. Candlelight.